I'm George Walker for WFIU Arts. Saturday night, I did have a ticket, but I was ensconced in front of my computer to engage with Giuseppe Verdi's Falstaff. I feel a bit guilty about watching from home, but frankly, the camera angles are super, and I've gotten used to doing household jobs while people are stretching their legs. It's a comic opera, the only one he wrote, and it began with a bedroom scene of Sir John Falstaff, Chauncey Blade, and his companions Bardolph, Philip McGowan, and Pistol, Drew Cameron. Sir John is a bass baritone, Bardolph a tenor, and Pistol a bass. Giuseppe Verdi's comic opera by Arrigo Boito is based on The Merry Wives of Windsor and on Henry IV Parts 1 and 2. It began without an overture. Sir John Falstaff, obese, drunk, and broke, will send two identical love letters to two wealthy and married women. Bardolph and Pistol are not up to the task, and Falstaff dispatches a messenger boy. In the next scene, it's a foursome. Sopranos Mrs. Alice Ford, Mary Martin, and her daughter, Nanette, Salone Levan, are visiting with Mrs. Meg Page, Sarah Daly, mezzo-soprano, and Janelle Parkins, contralto, Dame Quickly. They soon find that Sir John Falstaff has sent identical letters to the two ladies. Enter Ford, baritone Colin Anderson, Cayuse, tenor Rodney Young, Fenton, tenor Cameron King, and Bardolph and Pistol. All are warning of Sir John's designs. Alone at last, Fenton and Nanette steal a few kisses. The women return, deciding to send Dame Quickly to Sir John Falstaff to arrange a rendezvous. Meanwhile, the two lovers are interrupted by Ford, who plans to visit Sir John Falstaff alone. Meanwhile, as the opera crowd streamed out to get refreshments and bathrooms, I unloaded the dishwasher and made a cup of coffee. The view from the computer is really a good one, and with all those camera angles, it's the best seat in the house. In the next act, Dame Quickly sets up the interview with Sir John Falstaff, and Ford and his men arrive to search the house. There's quite a bit of rummaging about the house with the tearing of sheets, etc., but they don't scare up anything. Sir John Falstaff takes refuge in the laundry basket, and he is then ceremoniously dumped into the muddy stream. And there's another intermission, and I empty the dryer. As the sun sinks, Falstaff bemoans his fate while downing a mug of warm ale. Dame Quickly arrives and tells him that Mrs. Alice Ford still loves him, and she presents a note suggesting a meeting in Windsor Park that night. She tells him the gory tale of the Black Huntsman's ghost, often seen at midnight in Windsor Park. This is a build-up for the finale. Fenton receives a monk's costume. Nanette is the queen of the fairies. Meg is a nymph. Quickly is a witch. A horned Sir John Falstaff lumbers in and has scarcely greeted Alice than Meg warns of approaching demons. Nanette calls the foreign creatures to their revels. Sir John takes a powder and lies over on the side of the stage. Ford betroths Caius to the queen of the fairies. It's Bardolph in disguise, and the audience does get a laugh out of it. He also unwittingly blesses Nanette and Fenton. Somewhere there was a comic fugue, but it was a bit low for me to hear. Sir John leads the company in declaring that the world is a jest. Chauncey Blade was an admirable Sir John Falstaff. Philip McGowan was the comical Bardolph, and Drew Cameron was the agile Pistol. Colin Anderson was the angered Ford, and Cameron King was Fenton. Of the sopranos, Mary Martin and Salone Levan sang well and were adept at the comedy. Janelle Parkins was always genial as the message bearer, and Sarah Daly was Mrs. Meg Powell. Mario Conti led the production from the pit. Michael Schell was the stage director. Robert O'Hearn was the set and costume director. Walter Huff directed the chorus. Alice Trent was the lighting designer. And I'm George Walker.